If you'd like to, you can open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, which will be our text tonight, as we talk just a little bit about serving the Savior. But more specifically, what I want to do tonight is to also give a report on the recent work of the Graymere congregation in Panama. And the end of January and the beginning part of February, we were in Panama doing a vacation Bible school as well as a work team and even a future minister's camp. I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about that as well this evening. Many of you, maybe like me, were struggling a little bit this morning after losing an hour of sleep. I told someone this afternoon that the last 2 years in a row I've been in Panama at this time of the year, so I haven't experienced losing an hour of sleep. It's been kind of rough on me, so I went home and I stole my hour back this afternoon. I even got one more so I could feel even better tonight. And I hope that the rest of you are able to do the same so that you can feel good tonight as we open our Bibles together and study a little bit more about our Lord. There's a popular show on television. It's not a show that I watch, but I'm aware of it. It's called America's Got Talent. And as I understand it, the basic purpose or plot of the show is that people go there and they perform their different talents, whether it be to sing or to dance or to do music acts or comedy acts or martial arts, you name it, and they've got it on that show. It's a whole variety of different talents and abilities, but all of the contestants go to the show for one singular purpose, and that's that every single one of them want to be famous. They want to put the spotlight on themselves, on their talents, on their abilities, and they want to make a name for themselves. They want to be somebody in the eyes of America. But I believe one of the greatest blessings of the Graymere congregation is that Graymere's got talent. We've got more talent here than that show could ever dream of. We've got more abilities and more talents than any contestant that's ever been on that show. There's truly nothing we cannot do. However, we realize that we cannot do anything without the Lord on our side. We've got the right God, and we've got the right message, we've got the right people, and the right talents, and the right resources, you name it, and we've got it. However, the blessing of being a part of this family is really not just that we have all the talents and all of the abilities, but it's that we're not seeking to make a name for ourselves. We're not seeking to be somebody. We're seeking to serve the Savior, so that Christ will be glorified, so that Christ will be magnified through the work that we do. And at the end of January and the beginning of February, I believe that Christ was magnified through the work that the Graymere congregation did. We were there for two weeks. The first week was a future minister's camp, and as I understand it, Kirk's already reported to you on that week, so I won't spend much time speaking about that this evening. But rather, I'm going to focus more on the second week, in which there was a VBS, there was leadership training for men and women. There was a visit to the Cuna villages just outside of Panama City. But we had a lot of talented people on that campaign. We had folks that went down to teach classes, to teach people of all ages. We had folks that went down to teach ladies' classes, men's classes, folks that went down just to drive us around, folks that went folks that can go find anything you need and go purchase the materials and supplies that the team needs. We had folks that went down and worked and repaired things and fixed things and bought new things and folks that went and cooked, folks that went and cleaned, and in many cases folks that worked in a variety of these areas because of maybe the lack of hands and lack of folks to fill in. Let's go to the next slide. But what I want to talk about tonight is serving the Savior. And I just want to make two brief points and illustrate these points with photos from our work in Panama. But the first point is that serving the Savior involves selflessness. Just as I mentioned, it's not about putting the spotlight on ourselves. It's about putting our own egos aside, putting self aside, and putting the spotlight on Christ so that others can see Him for who He truly is. Let's go to the next slide. The background to Philippians, which we're going to talk about briefly tonight, is found in Acts 28, verses 30 and 31. At this point in Acts 28, Paul's been made his missionary journeys. He's had a lot of great success, but he's also had a lot of great hurt. He's been beaten, he's been stoned, he's been imprisoned, he's been thrown out of cities and left for dead. Then at the end of those journeys, he's gone to Rome as a prisoner on a ship. When he arrives, he's put in house arrest for 2 years, so you can imagine him in his own rented home. Maybe that home was financed by Rome. Maybe it was financed by members of the church. We don't really know. But you can imagine him there in that rented facility with the chain around his foot, but still having the opportunity to speak with people and to teach others about Christ. But while he's in this moment, these 2 years of house arrest, he's also writing epistles and sending them out to others. And that's likely the time in which the Philippian epistle was written. Notice Philippians 1, verse 12. It says, in the English Standard Version, it says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." What Paul's saying, he's saying, after all that has happened to me, all of those things that have been done to me, I'm still not thinking about myself. I'm still not focused on me. All of those things were done in order to advance the gospel, in order to advance the cause of Christ. Paul's focused on serving the Savior, and he wants these Philippian brethren to focus upon the same things. Let's go to the next slide. Notice Philippians 1 and verse 20, the first verse of our text this evening. It says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Let's go to the next slide. What Paul's talking about, he's talking about the joy of being a part of something bigger than self. As Christians, we're a part of something bigger than the individual. True joy is obtained by losing ourselves in the one thing that's bigger than I am as an individual, and that's the cause of Christ. When we look at Christ, when we look at His Word, one thing we ought to come to realize is that I'm a nobody. But in a way, Christ has made us a somebody. Before baptism, I was a nobody. I was covered in sin. I wasn't involved in much bigger than myself. But after baptism, Christ has made us disciples. He's made us His disciples, and He's made us a part of the cause of Christ, the one thing that's bigger than each one of us as individuals. So we're engaged in something that the most important work that there is. I know we've got a lot of talented folks here, folks with great abilities, and maybe you've got really important secular jobs, and maybe even in those jobs you're doing great things to help other people. And I'm not minimizing that at all. Those things are great. But the cause of Christ is greater. The work of the church is greater. What we're doing not only affects people in this life, but it also will affect people's eternal destiny. So we're involved in something that's greater than we could have ever been a part of on our own. Our job here is to magnify Christ before a world that does not see Him as we do. You see, the world's having trouble seeing Christ. There's something wrong with their eyes. They're so far away from Christ that they can't see Him as we do. But we need to live our lives in such a way so as to bring the image of Christ into closer view so that they can see Him as He truly is. Matthew 5:16 said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And that's our job. We need to help the world to be able to see Jesus. They're not thinking about eternity. They're not thinking about obedience. But we need to bring the image of Christ into closer view so that they can think about those things. So our mission is to magnify Christ as the exalted and glorified Savior of the world. And I believe that during our time in Panama, the Savior was magnified through the selfless service of the saints here at Graymere. Let's go to the next slide. While we were there, we had the opportunity, just a few days prior to the Vacation Bible School, to take a trip to visit the Kuna villages. These are Kuna Indians. They're an indigenous people of Panama. And the ones specifically that we're working with are about 2 or 3 hours outside of Panama City. So we made a short trip, left on Friday morning, went down, got our hotel room for the night, spent that day working with the church in a little village called Ipeti And then the next day we got up and went up the river. You can see our nice fancy boats that we had. We really went all out and got the best boats they had for this trip. And we went up the river and visited Puerto Limon, which is another area in which we are helping to establish the church in that village. Let's go to the next slide. One interesting thing about this trip up this river, I guess it's a little bit of both, that the water's shallow and that Americans are big, but a lot of times our boat gets stuck, and you think that boats are to keep us out of the water, but most of the time we end up having to get out and push the boat, or get out just so that the boat's not so weighed down so that they can get through the shallow waters. Next slide. But we were able to survive. We found one nice restaurant that had nice food. And I learned something new about Fred Porter this year. Usually he kind of sticks real close to folks that speak Spanish and acts like he can't speak any Spanish. But I learned that if he was there by himself, he could survive. He could at least eat well. Because we went into this restaurant and he didn't worry about translators. He just walked in, sat down, said, "I want some rice and chicken in Spanish." Said, "I want some arroz con pollo." And he got it, and we were glad to have him there with us to take care of our bellies. Next slide. There you see a photo of the children at IPETI that we are supporting a man named Marcelino Rosamina to work in IPETI as well as in surrounding areas. And more specifically, his son Marcelino, also same name, Marcelino, preaches here in IPETI, and the church up in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, is supporting that work as well. But we kind of join hands and work together in these places. And Kirk Brothers' father was there along with us on that trip, and he's been an integral part of that work as well. There's a picture of the children in IPETI. Next slide. There's a picture of Jonathan Dye and some of the Kuna kids. It's important, I think, for our folks to get an opportunity to go down and hold these kids and play with these kids. The boy in the bottom right of that photo is actually one of the sons of Marcelino Jr. And I don't know exactly how many children he's got. I think he's got about 7. Every year we go, he's got a new one. And this year he had a new one. Last year he had a new one. So I think he's at about 7 right now, but that's one of them. Let's go to the next slide. There's a picture of the stewards giving out toys. One thing we do is we typically take a big bag of toys and we'll have a meeting with the adults and the children. We'll have a class for the children. And then following that, we'll give out toys. And that's what you see there in that photo. Next slide. This is a photo from Puerto Limon, the one where we had to go up the river a little bit in order to get there. And we're underneath a new building that the Graymere congregation financed for the church. And it's not completely finished yet, but as you can see, they're making a lot of progress on it, giving them an opportunity to get out of the weather and to meet and study the Bible together. But that's a photo of the children of that area and Rodney Barcelo. He's a young Kuna man. He's a preacher that the Graymere congregation is supporting, and he's really done a great work in that area. He's not from there. Most of the Kuna Indians live on islands off the coast of Panama, but we're working with the mainland Kuna, so he came from the islands to work there, and it's a different culture for him. It's a new place and new people. But he's doing a great work and has done a great work. Due to some needs with his education and with his wife's education, in the coming months he's actually going to be moving back to the islands. And in July, Lord willing, we're going to go with him and help to get him established on the island of Achutupu. There's no Church of Christ there, but we're going to be working to establish one. And Lord willing, in the future, maybe we'll have the opportunity to go there and work as well, work alongside him. This is a picture just of the entire team that made the trip to the Kuna village, just standing on the banks. We couldn't hardly go without taking a team photo together. Next slide. But the second point I want to mention tonight, in talking about serving the Savior, not only must there be selflessness, but serving the Savior involves a willingness to work, a willingness to serve others. And what I mean by that is we really need to move from knowing to doing. We need to move from just being people that know what the Bible says. We need to move to become people who are doing what the Bible says. Next slide. Philippians 1:21 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. A lot of times we look at that passage and we spend more time focusing on the last part of the passage where it says to die is gain. Especially in times of sickness and death and at funerals, we like to focus on passages like this in order to recognize how much better it's going to be when we leave this life and go to be with the Lord. But what I think we need to focus on a little bit more is the first part of that passage where it says, "For me to live is Christ." What that means is that my life literally needs to revolve around what Christ has done for me and around what He wants me to do for Him every day for the rest of my life. There's a passage in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 that says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." If we've been baptized into Christ, if we've been raised with Christ, then where should our focus be? Our focus ought to be on things above. Our focus shouldn't be entirely on things on this earth. After all, we know from 2 Peter chapter 3 that this earth is just waiting to be burned up. So we need to focus our attention on doing the Lord's will and bringing souls to Christ. We need to focus on being a people who are willing to serve and do the work that the Lord has given us to do. We must stop living for self and start living for Christ. Let's go to the next slide. One aspect of thinking about "for me to live is Christ," one thing that means, as I mentioned it, it means leaving from knowing and moving on into doing. We need to do more than just know the book. We need to do the book. But part of that involves a rejection of faith-only Christianity. There's much controversy in the religious world today regarding salvation. Some argue that it's by faith only or grace. Some argue that it's by works. I believe that the Bible is pretty self-explanatory on that grace and works go hand in hand. By the grace of God, not by anything we did, or not that we deserve it, He sent His Son to die on the cross for the sin of the world and to save us from our sins. But also by our obedience to His commands, our belief in Him, our repentance and confession, and baptism and perseverance, we're able to be added to His church. But that's not really what I mean when I say faith-only Christianity. When I say we need to reject faith-only Christianity, I'm talking about folks who they're failing to practice their Christianity. They believe in good things, they just don't necessarily do the things that they need to do. For example, believing in the Great Commission, but never going in order to take the gospel somewhere. Believing in the Great Commission, but never helping someone else to go, in the case that we're not physically able to go. Or you can even take this and apply it to any works that the Graymere congregation is doing. You could take giveaway day. That's a great work. Believing that that's a great work, but never getting involved in it or never contributing towards it is an example of faith-only Christianity. Believing that visitation is a good thing, that the youth program's a good thing, that the works that the seniors are doing, the jail ministry, Lads to Leaders, VBS, the Columbia Bible Institute, believing that all of those things are good works, but not getting involved in them, is faith-only Christianity. And I believe it's sad to see brethren practice their Christianity as faith-only. Even more sad to see brethren who will argue against faith-only salvation, but then practice faith-only Christianity. But I'm thrilled to be a part of this congregation here at Graymere. I believe that there's a lot of folks here who are living your Christianity daily. I believe this is a family that puts your faith in action, both in your words and in the things that you're doing, and use your abilities to the fullest of your potential. But not only must we be willing to serve the Savior, willing to move from knowing and move into the realm of doing, when we do works for the Savior, we need to do it with passion. Remember, for me to live is Christ. That means I need to be passionate about whatever it is I'm doing in service to the Savior. That means I need to eat, sleep, and drink. Be passionate about whatever it is that I'm doing. I saw a lot of passion in Panama. You know, if you want to know what passion is, ask Kirk Brothers how he feels about the future ministers' camps. I saw him cry when the boys arrived because he wasn't sure how many would come. saw him call his wife and cry. I saw him be worn out at night, and we shared a room for a few nights. But then we'd stay up late talking about the camp because he was so passionate about what was going on. If you want to know what passion is, ask me how I feel about the work of the church in Peru. There's not another place on earth where I felt more useful, and there's not another place on earth that I want to see the church grow more than in that country. If you want to know what passion is about, ask these women that went to the VBS that spent a whole year preparing their materials and preparing to go down there and teach those children. And you'll know what passion is, because we've got a lot of passionate people here that want to serve the Lord. Let's go to the next slide. Here you see a picture of Annette teaching her class. We literally had children all over the campus of the Bible School of the Americas and classes going on, children being taught in different locations. Next slide. Here's another picture, complete opposite end of the campus, another pretty good-sized group of kids being taught. Next slide. There's a picture of Brother Wertman teaching an afternoon class for the men. This is a great thing to have our elders go. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to come and work with the Graymere congregation, because I've been doing mission work for a long time, but in terms of going on a campaign, I've never had one of my elders go with me. One of the specific elders who are overseeing my work, I've never had one of them go with me on the campaign, but the Graymere elders go. This is a great thing, not only for me, but it's great for the men there. Most congregations don't have elders. Most of them don't know exactly what an elder is. So it's great to have church leaders go down there and teach and help them to grow so that they can one day have leadership of their own. Next slide. There's a picture of Brother Porter getting ready to speak. I believe that's at the end of the first week, maybe at the Sunday service at the end of the Future Ministers Camp. Here's a picture of Jamie Morgan teaching the boys. Again, another group. This is another end of the Bible School of the Americas, and got another group of boys there being taught by him and his group. Next slide. There's Kathy Tucker and her future daughter-in-law. She's got another group of kids being taught. If you'll know what passion is, talk to Kathy Tucker about teaching kids. You'll see a lot of passion in her for what she does down there. Here's a picture of Kaylee Young with the children. A lot of times, due to the timing of this campaign, we don't have a lot of young people that go with us, but we really need a lot of Graymere's young people to go. You don't know how much good it does just to see our young people spending time with their young people and our young people picking up their kids and playing with their kids. It does a great amount of good for our kids. It's going to build their faithfulness and their activeness when they come home, but it's also going to do a great amount of good for the children there. Picture Rush Holiday. Again, another group. This is a group of older boys that may be one of the most difficult groups to teach during that week. But he handled it. This was his first trip, and he did a great job filling in that area. This is a picture from the first week in which some things in that first week didn't quite go exactly as we had planned. And one was that most of our cooks that we had planned, our Panamanian cooks that we had planned to have come and cook for the week, they didn't show up. And they waited until it was time for the Future Ministers Camp to begin to call us and let us know that they weren't coming. So we had to have a lot of folks step in and fill those needs. And there's a picture of Matt Bowling and my Mama Jewel, my Mama Annette. I've got a lot of mamas when I go down there, folks that look after me. But that's two of them. But they stepped in that area and took care of the cooking and the cleaning and making sure that the boys were fed and that we had everything we needed. This is a picture of Ruben Gallego and his family. Ruben is supported, I guess not officially by the Graymere congregation, but rather by some individual families here that have gotten together and really love him and want to take care of him. And he's a tireless worker. He's always hardworking. If we're there, he's always there with us helping. He's a good guy to be around. You can ask anybody in Panama, they're going to tell you he's a hard worker. He's from the Bocas del Toro province, and we've not made a trip up there yet. Lord willing, we'll be able to do that in the future. It's hard to describe him just as a local preacher, because really he's more like a missionary in his own country, and that every year it seems like he's found a new congregation that's weak and struggling, and he's always saying, hey, now this congregation is strong enough to stand on its own. I'd like to move over there and work with that one. So he's more like a missionary to his own people. As I mentioned, we have some folks that go and they're fixing things and repairing things, and in some cases buying new refrigerators. There's a picture of Jim Baker. Jim Baker headed up that area and has for a long time and really does a great job. Matt Bowling was, he's got a lot of talents and a lot of abilities, and we were very glad to have him with us this year in order to step in and work in those areas. And again, another photo from the first week. We even got the men in the kitchen. We're short on workers. But this is what selflessness and willingness is all about. We've got men, they didn't say, I'm above working in the kitchen, or I don't have skills in that area. We had men who were willing to step in and make sure the boys were fed and make sure that everybody was happy and not going hungry. Even a picture of Rush Holiday working in the kitchen. Here's a picture of Chuck Wortman. He's preparing for his class, and I didn't put that in there to embarrass him, but I put that in there because Panama, when we go for this campaign, there are places where we go where it's a little more roughing it, but a lot of times there's folks say, oh, I couldn't go overseas, but I just wanted you to notice he's sitting there with his bottle of water, his iPhone, his computer, and he's even got another cell phone for use there in Panama to let you know that it's not so bad. It's not so different from being here. If you can do those things here, you can do those things there. And we'll take care of you and make sure everything that you need is provided for you. We also begin each day with a morning devo, and this is a good opportunity not only for us as a team to come together and to study, but it's also a good opportunity for men to step up and teach those devos and lead singing, lead prayers, and read scriptures. It's a great team building opportunity each day. There's a picture of some of our ladies. That's on the tour day. We work really hard during this week, and I wouldn't lie to you. We also have a whole lot of fun, and at the end, we deserve a break. We deserve a tour, so that's exactly what we're able to do. That's a picture of them taking a little break at the Panama Canal. I guess there's only so many times you can go and see the Panama Canal, and so maybe that's why they're sitting down and having a snack instead of leaning over the rail to look at the boats. I put this photo in here to tell you a little bit about Fernando Sanchez. He's also a gospel preacher in Panama. He works in a place called Cerecito, Panama. And he's supported by the Young Families class here at Graymere. Also, he's a great guy to have around. He's the kind of guy that he's always positive. I've never heard a negative thing come out of his mouth. I've never seen him depressed. He's the kind of guy that's got a lot of energy, the guy that you want around because he's going to make you feel good about yourself. He's going to be willing to jump in and work and help in any area in which he can help. He's the kind of guy that we always want with us when we're there. And we've, in a way, been able to see his development. They took him straight after he graduated from the Bible school, and they put him with a more experienced preacher for a while. And I'm talking about these brethren from Graymere that have taken an interest in him and let him work and grow and learn from a more experienced preacher. After that, he moved on to another congregation who also had an experienced preacher. But they needed a younger man to come and help, and so he went there and learned from a new person and learned some new things. And now Fernando's finally stepping out on his own, and he's working with the congregation as the local preacher. It's a congregation that does not have elders. But one thing that he's doing recently, he's identified a place called Quipo, Colón, a place that does not have a Church of Christ. And he's started to work. He's evangelizing the area. He's baptized a few folks. He's in the process of establishing the church there. He's even secured a little piece of land from one of the members, and she's told him, you know, the church can have that if they want to build a building. And I put his picture in here so I can say, Lord willing, this July 22nd through 30th, we're going to take a medical campaign, an evangelism campaign, and go and help him to establish the church in that area. And again, as far as what we do on that campaign, it really depends on what abilities and what talents we have. If we've got folks that know how to build and work, maybe we can help with building that church building they need. If we've got a whole lot of needs, we definitely need doctors, we need dentists, we need pharmacists, we need folks who can help in the clinic. If you can count to 20, we need you to come and work in the pharmacy and count out pills. We need folks who can come and do Bible studies. We need folks who can cook. We need folks who can build things, whatever you can do. We've even got a woman who's a beautician who's coming, and if you like to cut hair, you can come and do that, or sweep up the hair. She came last year on a campaign, and, And by the end of the week, she taught four other women how to cut hair. So if you want to learn how to cut hair, you can come down there and practice on the Panamanians and learn how to do that. Really, what we're seeking to do is use whatever talents and abilities we've got in order to find a way to magnify Christ and bring souls to Christ. The registration forms are out at the information desk, and if you're interested in that work, see me, talk to me about it. Definitely get a registration form and fill that out and turn that into the church office, and we'll plan on going together this July 22nd through 30th. The numbers for the week, basically we had four work days there in the school, 415, 465, 517, 605. Those are some amazing numbers. That means that each day we averaged about 500, 505 or so people being taught the Word of Christ. That's not just children. That includes ladies in the ladies' classes, men in the men's classes, whatever kind of classes or work was going on, that's the count, including everyone. But for such a small group that we in, I don't remember exactly how many we had, maybe about 30 or so, to be able to teach the Word of God to 500 people each day, that's an amazing accomplishment for such a short period of work. A lot of great things were done on this campaign. A lot of great work was done. The Lord was definitely magnified as a lot of people were taught, and He was brought into sharper focus in their eyes. Not long ago, just a couple weeks ago, somebody asked me the question. They said, "Have you ever thought about why God chose to let you be born into a wealthy country and not into a poverty-stricken country like India or one of these countries in which we go in Central and South America? Or have you ever thought about, in my case, I grew up in a family of Christians. Have you ever thought about why the Lord blessed you with that opportunity to be born into a family that knows the truth rather than into a family that's lost in the false teachings of the world?" And I don't know if I know the specific answer, but the answer I gave is that I do believe that with great blessings come great responsibilities. Therefore, maybe the answer is that the Lord blessed me in those ways so that I can go and serve and teach others. Now, I think that's definitely part of the answer for each one of us. We've all been blessed greatly in Christ, not just physically, but spiritually, as all spiritual blessings are in Christ. And I believe we each have a great responsibility to go and teach and serve and help others to know Christ and be blessed as we have. It might be the case tonight, though, that there are some, as we're talking about serving the Savior, some may be looking at your own life and you might be saying, "You know, I've been practicing this faith-only Christianity." And maybe you need to repent tonight. If that's the case, then we would love to help you and work with you and pray with you. There may be some here tonight who have not yet made the decision to put on Christ in baptism. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, if you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Him, you can have your sins washed away by being buried with Him in baptism, being rising again as a new creature, willing to persevere and walk in newness of life, and join hands with us as we work together to serve the Savior and to magnify Him. But whatever your need is, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come right now as together we stand and as we sing.